Hey, Mom. Hey, Roger. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm trying to figure out this weather. I don't know if I'm hot or cold.
Yes, we're back with another episode. Welcome to Talking Brown Sugar.
Talking Brown Sugar. I'm Angela, the mom.
I'm Roger, the daughter. And this is
Talking
Brown
Sugar.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Remember to support the show and find us online.
Facebook and Instagram.
At Talking Brown Sugar.
Email us.
At talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com.
YouTube.
Yes, subscribe, like, and share. Leave us 5-star reviews wherever you listen. You can enjoy Talking Brown Sugar on the go by finding us on your preferred podcast app. I said you want to be starting something. You got to be starting something.
I said you want to be starting something. You got to be starting something.
It's too high to get over.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too low to get under.
Yeah, yeah. You stuck in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
And the pain of thunder.
Yeah, yeah. It's too high to get over. Too low to get under.
Yeah, yeah.
You're stuck in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
And the pain is thunder. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in the sugar bowl with some random thoughts. What you got, Mom?
My random thought is, did y'all know Easter was this month? March.
In March.
Yeah.
Oh, get your pastels ready.
Because I thought it was in April. This leap year got me messed up. But we got to celebrate Easter for the real meaning. It's more than just hunting for them eggs and finding that golden one. I hope everyone has a safe Easter. We're going to always look cute, especially them little Easter bunnies and our kids. So find your hats, ladies. Men, put on your fine till you're 9. And have fun with your family and eat some good food. Oh, do we have a menu for Easter?
Yes, we do. We are doing, I know, a lemon cake and some kind of baked meat. I don't know what we
decided on. I know we said some ribs.
Ribs, oh, asparagus. I did really want some asparagus.
What about angel eggs?
Angel eggs, yes. And Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
And
we doing Krabby Patties?
No.
No Krabby Patties.
Did you say Krabby Patties?
I thought we did. Patties.
You want to do Krabby Patties.
But we might do sliced salmon.
Okay.
You making lemonade or Kool-Aid?
We might do some agua fresca.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
Something refreshing.
So I hope everyone has a safe and happy Easter.
Yes, take care and enjoy.
Sugar Cubes, aka the news, where we put a little sugar in your cup.
Yes, first story we have coming up about a stingray that is pregnant after sharing an aquarium tank with only other sharks. So a pregnant stingray at the North Carolina Aquarium has become an overnight celebrity, and many are wondering who the father is. Charlotte around stingray at the Aquarium and Shark Lab by Team ECCO in Hendersonville is pregnant with as many as 4 pups, but she hasn't shared her tank with any male stingrays in the last 8 years. She could deliver soon, but as of Saturday, she still hadn't had her pups. But she had a nice meal of shrimp, silver size, and scallops. Over the past week, she did get some much-needed rest alongside a horseshoe crab in her tank after meeting her fans. So people are excited to see if we're going to get a shark ray. But experts are saying that might not be true. It might be impossible for a shark to impregnate a stingray due to their different sizes in DNA, said Katie Lyons, a research scientist at the Georgia Aquarium. But it is possible that she may have had a pregnancy as a result of parthenogenesis, a rare and asexual reproduction where a female can produce an embryo without fertilizing an egg with sperm.
That can happen.
Yep. So, yeah. I thought it was funny.
I was like, who's the daddy? What did they say? Who the pappy?
They noticed she had a bunch of bites, a couple of bites on her. So maybe she shot a fair one and just got stressed out and had decided, you know what, before I leave, hey, I'm going to make some more.
This is going to be unique.
Yep, but we'll see. Another North Carolina story. The Southern accent is fading from North Carolina, research finds. North Carolina is known for a lot of things, the food, people, the nature, and also its iconic Southern accent. But now research suggests that the Southern drawl may be fading away. As younger generations grow up, the state welcomes more transplants. North Carolina natives such as Miriam Morin, who grew up in New Bern, are becoming more of a rarity. I notice myself when I'm around people not from here that my accent is not as strong, but then when I'm around people who grew up here, I get right down into that accent with them. Linguists have found with each generation that iconic drawl is fading. Some of the younger kids I know definitely don't have as much of a southern accent, but I think it comes more with what part of North Carolina you're from. Demographics show nearly half of North Carolinian adults, 49%, were born somewhere else. Non-natives are now a majority in 18 counties, including all three counties that make up the triangle, Wake, Durham, and Orange. That has affected how people talk.
Well, I definitely understand that because I'm not...
You're not from here. I'm not from North Carolina. You didn't even go here, girl.
And I know from growing up, coming straight into high school or whatever, people notice you're not from Durham. You're not from North Carolina. I was like, no. But, you know, once you stay here for a long time, you lose some of your accent from where you're from. But it still pokes out sometimes that you're not a North Carolina native. But I like a little of the draw, but not too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, growing up here as a native of North Carolina, I have always been told that I did not sound like I am from here, which is funny. But I have talked to, as I've traveled, other people from other parts of North Carolina. And, of course, other people from other states. And then, depending on where you are, people say I have an accent or not. And I definitely have picked up the accent you had when we were younger. I think you had a stronger New York, Brooklyn accent. And yeah. I could turn it on and off, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it depends on what mood I'm in. It'll come off. I know if I'm on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something I want to take care of, but I might go right into it. Like, yo, what you talking about? Who? Mm-hmm. What you say? Yo, peace. What?
One.
Like, oh, yeah, one love. And they be like, oh, okay, you're not from here. Not that I'll be trying to stress it. It depends on what I'm trying to get the point over. I'm not who you want to talk to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It depends on if I'm talking fast. Sometimes I do.
Talk fast?
I pick up an accent or mm-hmm. It depends on, like you said, how you feeling. I know when I get upset, I try not to speak in a way that will make me stutter because I do stutter when I get upset.
I do too.
And it sounds like I'm speaking with a different accent. But yeah, it depends. But some people say they don't think the Southern accent is dying. In fact, depending on how you look at it, it could be growing. Some NC State students from Connecticut and New York also spoke and said they have adopted y'all in their vocabulary. So I've noticed too in a lot of places and online, different people saying y'all. And I was raised not to say y'all.
N-word
like even in school, they told us not to say y'all and ain't in school. But as I've gotten older, it seems to be more acceptable as people understand linguistics, colloquialisms, and...
Correct.
You know.
Because if you're around your peers and you're comfortable, say what you want to say. You know, be who you are. Mm-hmm. And don't fake it to make it. Don't do that.
Yeah, if you got a Southern drawl, embrace use that drawl, y'all.
You know, hey.
Ain't no shame.
Because I love how those people talk in Louisiana. I like that.
That's a Southern drawl, like a little bit of molasses.
I tell you.
I don't know how to do it. I
want some of that good old whiskey.
You said Louisiana.
Yep, but you know I mix it up.
I like New Orleans when they say baby.
Oh yeah, baby.
On a cool drink.
And they say get soda some cool pop. Fish. You got some pop?
Pop. A cool drink instead of soda. Yeah. A cool drink. Yeah. I don't know how to do. I haven't practiced that one. Like a New Orleans accent. I have practiced a British accent.
Oh, that's a nice accent too.
That's my favorite. I've seen lots of
media. You don't have a spot to say, Raja.
A spot of tea.
I'm going to have some crumpets.
Depends on what you want to do, what you want to talk about. If you want to go across.
We can take a
across the pond.
Yeah, certainly.
Go for a brisk walk.
Not today, because I got to go clean out my privy. Do y'all know what a privy is?
Not the privy. In other news, SAT resurgence. A lot of institutions, even elite colleges, have opted to drop the test optional policy. So an example is the Yale University during the pandemic had a test optional policy for admittance requirements. But now they are saying that the SAT and ACT correlation results can tell you more about the future of student success. And it's complicated because of surrounding research and points of view among school administrators and education advocates. Admission officers have also pointed out various research on whether test scores or GPA are more accurate predictors of a student's college performance and eventual graduation rates. Because they want to get you in and they want to get you out. So at other schools, they have opted out of test-free policies during the pandemic, as COVID outbreaks made it difficult to do that in person. And then testing has also raised questions around equity. Data analyzed in 2023 showed that student scores rose in accordance with parental income. So 14% of admissions officers in 2023 at 200 of the top schools with test optional policies were considering requiring applicants to submit standardized test scores per a 2023 survey. So more than 2,000 schools have now test optional or test-free policies for 2024, but Fair Test, an education organization focused on school evaluation, says that the largest labor union in the U.S., the National Education Association, has called for colleges to drop their testing requirements. All students deserve to have the ability to demonstrate knowledge in many ways that are measurable by those who know them best, their educators, said Becky Pringle, NEA president, in a statement.
Yeah. So I believe COVID, if they can do it for COVID, might as well just, hey.
See, what, do what for COVID?
You know what I'm saying? When they had the COVID, they didn't do it because they couldn't do it in person.
Mm-hmm.
And they still received and got what they needed from the student who was applying. So you going to make it or not?
It's interesting to think about, too, because, you know, we also recently, they ended affirmative action. So it's like, then how do you ensure equitable admission rates and practices? So you do have to bring back something, and they probably just went back to that until they figure out a better system to equitably accept students who will also be successful. Because is it equitable to bring in a student who wouldn't have success at the school?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to think about what does that mean, and how you show up for students who may need more help as they are accepted. And then when you think about, like you said, how long it takes for somebody to graduate,
mm-hmm.
or how somebody performs on a test, like what other measurements can be there. And then, of course, student loan debt. Is it still important for undergrad people who are considering going back to school or going to college? Is it worth it? The amount of debt you go to some of these schools is more than a mortgage or the purchase a house for that price of going to school for 4 years.
And it follows them for life.
Follows them for life. Are you able to get a job with that degree to be able to then pay it off? And then, of course, as an alumni donate to the school when they turn around and ask you for money less than a year of graduating. You're like, what? I got student loans, baby. So it's an interesting conversation to think about education and its role in educating people who need it versus people who want it, if it's still encouraged, and then how accessible it is.
Yeah, some people probably say it's not fair for the ones who have mapped their way and have took these tests to get to these institutions of education. Then you got to pay these teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I say, Who came up with a 4-year plan to go to school 4 years? Then you have this accelerated schools now. You can do it like in two years or less.
Fast track.
Basically. Or you can map your way 30 minutes a day in college, you know, online classes. But whatever shoe fits for a person, do that. But it shouldn't be this high in student loan debt. It's not fair.
All right.
Next up, we have Issa Rae on Black Stories being a less of a priority across TV and why she is drawn to American fiction. So she, Issa Rae, recently this year talked about starting her own production, means of production. She said, you're seeing so many Black shows canceled. You're seeing so many executives, especially on the DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion side, getting canned. You're seeing very clearly now that our stories are less of a priority. And this is like coming off on the heels of one of the shows. She was an executive producer of Rap Shit being canceled, and a lot of shows, Black shows across TV being canceled, not being renewed or having to, you know, present a brisk or shortened second season because they were getting canceled. And I think she's right.
I do too. I mean, we see it. First, you're looking at a show, maybe one episode or two, and it start getting really like, oh, I like this. Then you look at it again, where did it go?
And then you try to understand what metrics are being used to determine what is successful for a production company. Like, I understand budgets, I understand viewership, but how are you measuring shows or movies against the next one? Especially, like, if you just look specifically at Netflix. You see shows that are really popular, or you see and hear good things about them, and then it's canceled one way, or a show that's just getting started. It's like, how can we cancel it so soon before it has a chance to
get off
the ground? Yeah, get off the ground, gain an audience. Like, what is it that executives are looking for it to be a hit? Like, who does it have to be popular with? You know,
like the demographics, the age, or
demographics, but I'm also like behind the scenes, like who is making those decisions, and like you said, why? Issa Rae went on to say, I'm pessimistic because there's no one holding anybody accountable, and I can, sure, but at what cost? I can't force you to make my stuff. It's made me take more steps to try and be independent down the line if I have to. And that's the age-old story of, you know, you can't get in where you fit in, so you gotta make your own lane. You think about, we just had award season, still some award seasons are going on. I think we got Oscars or something.
Mm-hmm.
Who's getting recognition? There are so many different kinds of stories out there in the world. It's like people say they don't want another slavery movie, but aren't y'all tired of war movies? We just seen
too many.
The same war story told from the perspective of all the soldiers, all the commanders, people who were on, you know, the victor side, people who were on the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see it from this country perspective. We didn't see it from that country perspective. We didn't see it from the Mission Impossible perspective of a helicopter off the side of a mountain. We didn't see it from, you know, in the water, on the ice. What kind of gun technology?
You're held hostage.
War technology over time. We didn't see it from how many, we're just going to keep having war movies?
And
you can see it from the nurses.
I appreciate our service people.
We appreciate, sure.
But sometimes we be letting out secrets that we don't need to show.
Isn't that also trauma?
Reliving.
Is that not trauma?
It be trauma to me sometimes.
But I'm saying, we see that as a story that needs to be told. Cool. Why not other stories from Black creatives? Other stories from other people, other creators of color can also be interesting. And it's...
And hitting that note, even though Black History Month was last month, you don't find out about Tuskegee or the other guys that was in the Navy SEALs that were Black. You don't find that out but one time out the month.
Right. A lot of people are just learning about Black Wall Street and,
you know,
how there are multiple Black Wall Streets. We still are learning about that through media, but we have education that's on the line because, you know, we can't pay the teachers. Teachers don't want to work with these conditions of the school shootings. So much stuff up against that and how we're banning books in certain places. Now, we can't talk about history, Black history, LGBTQIA history. All this stuff is up against in just our education. So it's like now people are looking towards media and other creative influencers to learn. And we aren't learning how to consume things from different perspectives in a way that we can personalize it. So, like, if I were to watch, I'm trying to think of a show, like the Barbie movie, and I can see myself in the main Barbie. She's white and thin. I'm not. But I can still see what she's saying and put myself in her shoes. But when we think about Black leads, is it canceled because other people can't put themselves in the Black lead shoes or the Latina or Latino lead shoes or the Asian lead?
Right.
Is what does it take for people to see stories and internalize it or even just enjoy from the sake of art? There are stories that don't feature Black people sometimes, and we have always had to, you know, do what we can with what we got, and we still enjoyed it.
Right, or we have to go back in the archives and find Porgy and Bess, Harlem Nights, Good Times, you know, then you got the Jeffersons.
Right, and some people
and they be like, what?
Some people only see them as Black classics, but why are they just Black classics and not national treasures?
Or make it up to date now, 2024. Make something up to date news that is everybody can enjoy.
Not Good Times.
No, we're not going
to. Those were not Good Times.
Yeah, they struggled the whole time. They never got off the.
Florida stressed me out.
That raggedy elevator.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm saying?
And so many just negative stereotypes to Angry Dad. The lazy book.
We see that. We don't need to see that.
It low key hit because it was like some of it's true.
Yeah.
And we got to see Black people, a whole Black family, and it broke barriers. And we can't take away from what it was to the culture. But there's other stories we can tell.
Correct.
And should be able to tell.
Like all y'all entertainers out there making all this here good music or whatever, y'all need to come together and make a nice show.
What kind of show are you suggesting?
Like a nice little wholesome show, you know.
The entertainers, you mean like music artists?
Yeah, they can get together and make something.
Actors, you think they should get together and make their own production?
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
I mean, so, I hear you out there, Tyler Perry. Go, y'all, you know, y'all shake some boots and do what you got
to
do.
Tyler Perry is a great example of having to create your own lane and how... But like everybody can't be Tyler Perry. Everybody can't. Build a $1 billion industry.
Why we can't get along? Somebody's not gonna get along. We, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. But still, like,
please try.
It's something that's coming. I'm looking forward to
because we have a lot of like Proud Family animated type of stuff.
Not even a lot. Like, you know, that's on TV. I can't think.
Well, I mean, it's easy for them to make that and use the voices of
for the kids. Yeah, that's good. So kids are having a good time. Right. I love that for the babies.
So we got to do something for us.
I'm
not trying to throw Tubi out there, but I'm about to make me a little movie.
Start your own version of, you know, how can you?
I'm getting ready to grind, make a coin.
I'm not even saying using Tubi because you know Tubi is Fox Network. But there are Black production companies. We got to support them, like Kev on Stage starting his own production company.
That's all right.
Like, who can we tap onto to work with? And like, he's like, even taking Issa Rae's advice of working across your network and not necessarily reaching up but reaching across with other people who are trying to do what you do. So that's something to think about.
And show some of our Black plays. There's so many brilliant people who are just now getting into playwrights. It's some good stories out here, these people making it, but some people would never get a chance to go to see a Broadway play, you know. It'd be nice to see a good play that people can see on PBS. But we need to start our own little challenges.
We have things. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. Tap into what exists now as far as, like, Black teens, Black, our own version of Hollywood that isn't...
Talked about,
is niche or just underused. So time to start seeing what's out there and getting connected and reaching within our networks and reaching across. So I hope that Issa Rae can either...
Behind you, Lisa Rae.
Issa Rae finds somebody she can connect with. And
good luck with that.
I'll be looking to support. That's what we got to do too. Support people when they are trying something new, trying something different. Your friends support people before they become a hit. Support them when it's rough and ugly.
Just like Talking Brown Sugar, support baby.
Yeah. So now, Wendy's, that girl is selling dollar burgers.
Girl.
Following the dynamic pricing fiasco.
I wonder what her daddy's saying in the grave.
He said, y'all tried it. Ain't no telling. He probably, it was a good market employee. People gonna be buying them dollar burgers.
Oh, yeah. Shoot, I might buy one.
Okay. So dynamic pricing is a familiar concept to anyone who's ever had to pay significantly more for an Uber or a concert or a busy Saturday night. Such like those surge prices, Wendy's proposed the system would mean that the cost of certain menu items will fluctuate up or down based on several factors, including time of day, how busy the restaurant was. Saying that a majority of people did not love the idea was an understatement. It was criticized and mocked on social media and by fast food rivals and joked about on late night TV. A burger may cost a dollar more during the lunch rush and $40 more at 3 a.m. That was Seth Meyers who made that joke. So unsurprisingly, the Ohio-based chain started walking back the whole concept fast. It says from their statement, we have no plans to raise prices based on demand and would not raise prices when our customers are visiting us most. Digital menu boards could allow us to change the menu offerings at different times of day, offer discounts and value offers to customers more easily, particularly in slower times of day. So they announced earlier this week during March Madness a theme burger promo that isn't explicitly an apology, but it could feel like one. So from now through Wednesday, April 10th, that's a long time. Wednesday, Wendy's guests can claim a Dave's single burger for $1 or Dave's double for $2 through the Wendy's app. So that's where I said, even where everybody said, Wendy's, you got us effed up. Wendy still said, hey, don't be mad. We got $2, $1 burgers if you come through the app. So All of this has been marketing. Y'all, this is...
It's still marketing.
Yeah, this is not a conspiracy. I don't think it's a conspiracy. But we were talking about this earlier, how on social media, a lot of people have and get active when things make them angry. Wendy said, we're going to make them angry. We're going to make them get active. So people said, I ain't going to Wendy's. I'm going to boycott Wendy's. And now Wendy's is like, hey, we know you're mad, but be good, be nice, and give us $2 and we'll give you a burger. Throw the app. So... people are going to get, you know, say, oh, okay, I'm not that mad. I'll take a dollar burger. I'll take a $2 burger. I'll download the app to get that discount. Now, they can track your data, unless, you know, I don't even know if the ask not to, the option on iPhones, I don't know about Android, but when you download a new app, it'll ask you if you want the app to track your data across apps.
Certain ones.
Okay.
Certain ones.
Every app asks me that permission through Apple. That's one of the updated policies, is that you have to be notified if an app is tracking your data across other apps and on your phone. So if Wendy's is downloading your data across apps, mm-hmm. What can they do? Promote to you better, market to you better, and talk to you better. So even though...
screw an app.
Even though they're walking back the dynamic pricing.
It's like a coupon you're giving me without me asking for it, but I got to go through this just to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was smart. I think it's smart because they're gonna get a lot of people.
Yeah.
For that dollar burger.
Because now, even like they $5 bag, it's not $5 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't tell nobody about that.
Well, I mean, people know, but... you might overlook that for that dollar.
I mean, once you go to that drive-thru, sometimes they don't tell you a lot of their prices have changed.
But that's what they're saying, too, mm-hmm. Now in that clear-up statement. We're going to use digital boards
mm-hmm.
to promote sales and discounts and new menu items or whatever we got going on. And it's like, okay.
Then you might get one of those private Wendy's say, oh, we don't participate in that. Mm-mm. So what do you do about my dollar, $2 burger I want to get?
Oh, you got to go down the street, babe.
I don't want them burgers.
This is Wendell's. You got to go to Wendy's.
Man.
In wrestling news, Sting gets a shout out from Michael Cole on WWE Raw following his AEW Revolution retirement. You remember Sting?
I do. I still have a Sting t-shirt.
The iconic Sting in his iconic final match on the AEW Revolution on Sunday got a shout out from the Monday episode of WWE Raw. On the commentary, Michael Cole acknowledged Sting during the beginning of the match, pitting Intercontinental Champion Gunther against Dominic Mysterio. Cole said that he and WWE wanted to send congratulations to another great champion. After nearly 40 years, the great Sting has retired from professional wrestling. Thanks for the memories and congratulations to Sting.
Yay.
Co-commentator Pat McAfee also mentioned that Sting's match last night, he and Darby Allin defended the AEW World Tag Team Championships against the Young Bucks at Revolution on Sunday. It was absolutely epic.
I like Sting. I remember when before they started painting his makeup on, they used to pull the plastic. I guess he went through 1,000 of those plastic rubber face masks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they'd be so mean. I used to be mad.
What do you mean?
You know, because, you know, I didn't understand about what wrestling was really doing. I was like, why is they pulling this man's face mask and stuff off? Oh. Then he started using the makeup. And when that thing get crazy looking from sweat and whatever else, you'd be like, yeah.
He gave his all.
But he was a good entertainer, what he was doing. Those bodies, they be beating them bodies up.
I remember as a kid being confused by the Sting and the movie The Crow. And so I thought that it was Sting that was in the movie.
I remember that.
But it was not. So that always bothered me when I saw Sting and The Crow. Because Sting would do some crazy stuff too.
Yeah.
Similar to The Crow. So I never knew that wasn't the same person. I was just like, I just accepted that that's what it was. And I was like, okay, so he really out here killing people. That's before I knew what wrestling really was. I just thought Sting was out here killing people.
Not that though.
It was just like spiritual, supernatural, all that stuff going on. I just accepted it. I was like, this, okay. If this y'all man, and you just letting him wrestle, killing people, okay. And our last story of today, Simone Biles hypes up girl who made history as the first black cowgirl to compete on TV. Calling it Black Girl Magic, Simone Biles shared a surprising fact about herself while hyping up Courtney Solomon, a young girl who made history as the first black cowgirl to compete on TV in 2021. The 7-time Olympic gold medalist, 26, reposted a graphic of Solomon, now 14, competing in the Bill Pickett Invitational Rodeo, the longest running black rodeo circuit in America. The image read, for Simone Biles, meet the 11-year-old girl who made history as the first black cowgirl to compete at a nationally televised rodeo. Although the graphic was a little bit outdated, Biles was thrilled to celebrate Solomon's accolade during Women's History Month and told fans she wanted to be a cowgirl when she was younger. Yes, ma'am, Biles wrote in her post on X, go girl, go.
I thought that was, I was delighted because when I read it, I was like, what? And you could tell she was about her business.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to check it out. That's hard work. Hard work and dedication.
11-year-olds just handling the horse, roping in the cows.
That's in that DNA. That girl got that.
Oh, yeah. I think she has 5 generations of cowboys, professional rodeo cowboys in her family. So she's been ready. That's that talent.
Yeah. She looks strong and good about it. Wellness check. When you look in the mirror, you might not like what you see. But after you wash your face, brush your teeth, you can see what you're working with. Sometimes you gotta almost pat yourself on the back and you say, what? I look good. God ain't make no mess. Throw you some nice comfy clothes on and work your best.
Yes, talk to yourself nice. Do that whenever you can and get in the practice of just speaking positive about yourself, your position, your situation. We got enough going on in the world. You got enough dealing with in the day. Just, you know, at the least talk to yourself nice.
I do. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, you know what, girl? We got this.
Work it.
Bat your eyes, even if you don't have your lashes on. And when men, when y'all put y'all, take y'all do-rags off or whatever, and women, y'all take y'all bonnets off and shake your what, moneymaker?
I know, when I said work it, it made me think of Miss Healy. Is that Miss Healy? Yeah, work it. I need that glass of water.
Work it.
Yeah, I don't know the rest of that song.
Me either. But I want y'all to work it and be happy.
Work it, be happy, take care of yourself.
Be happy. Don't worry.
I'm Roger the daughter.
I'm Angela the mom.
And we out.